Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3 is our Old Testament book of the Bible that we're going through here on Wednesday nights. And I've enjoyed the first 2 weeks, looking forward to a number of weeks in this book. Give you a little quick reminder of what where we kind of set the premises, at least the beginning of the book, is that the nation of Israel has been brought to the Jordan River, or at least they're going to get to the Jordan River tonight. And God has told them, like he told the generations before, to go over and possess the promised land. Here in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 11, there's an important key word that we showed you last week, and it talks about it again. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you will pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So it wasn't the fact they had to conquer it. They had to just go claim their land. Yes, there is conquest. Yes, there is conflict. And this book is all about that. But God has promised the victory. It wasn't like they were going to go to the Battle of Jericho and not follow. If they didn't follow God's plans, they would have lost. But if they were going to obey, God had gave them promises after promises. And this is the idea of this Christian life that we have now, is that he wants us to live a victorious Christian life. He doesn't want us to live in just a little portion. I gave the illustration the first week, and probably most weeks we'll mention it, that God had promised them 300,000 square miles of land. They had 300,000 square miles of land that they could go and possess, according to if you measure it out. Did I measure it out? No, this is from other people. But they claimed 30,000. 300,000 they could have had, they claimed 30,000. And I tell you that in our Christian lives today, this is, I think many of us live in that one-tenth and we're happy. Many of us live in that one-tenth of that position, that one-tenth of the victories, one-tenth of the power of the Holy Spirit, one-tenth of this. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about God wants us to live victorious. And we went through this and we're not going to preach the same message over again from week number one, but it's the idea God wants us to have victory through him. God desires for us to have Christian victory. And many a times the challenges that we face in our Christian lives are some of the same challenges these people faced. And the first week was the idea of be strong and of good courage. That's the thing that Joshua was told. Joshua was told in verses 5 and 6 about some amazing promises that God had given them. He promised them victory over every enemy. He promised them the presence and power of God. He promised them the faithfulness of God. He even promised them absolute victory. He says that you can go in and you can possess this entire land. And so we come to Joshua chapter number 3. The talking is done. Last week, we learned that one thing that sometimes holds people's back is their testimony or maybe their background. And we looked at the story of Rahab and how if God wanted to bless Rahab and how God took that prostitute or that harlot and put them in the line of Christ, and God was able to use him and take someone who had such a wicked background, and God could use. None of us have an excuse. None of us can say, well, it's because I did this before, so I can't do this. Now, I know there's consequences to our sin. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that God can use anyone. And that's the idea we looked at last week. This week, the talking is done. We're now at the Jordan River. And at the Jordan River, they're supposed to move forward. Now it's whether or not they're going to take that step of faith. And I think there's applications here in chapter 3 and chapter number 4. We're just going to look at chapter 3 tonight. There's some applications to us in our Christian lives. Many times we know what God wants us to do. Many times we know that God wants us to take that next step. God wants us to cross a Jordan River, in a sense, an obstacle that's there. It's been placed in front of us. The question is, are we going to have the faith to follow him? This one thing you see that's pretty cool in chapter number 3, you know, the ark goes first. At this point in time, the ark had always been in the center. There had been a pillar that they would follow, but the ark goes first, and they said, look, follow after God. He's going to take you here, and all you have to do is follow after God, watch after God, look for God, follow after him, and this is our step here. If we know there's something in our life that God has been trying to get us to go and do, maybe another breakthrough in our life, in our Christian lives. Maybe it's overcoming a habit. Maybe it's a idea that God wants us to surrender something. Maybe it's some type of service. And there's a Jordan River sitting there right in front of us, and it looks huge. It looks like we can't get over it. And the truth is, we can't on our own. And we're going to see in the story tonight, this amazing story that God had to do this for them. And they needed to see God do this. And as they saw God do this, God increased their faith. To give you a little background to help you understand the story a little bit, Joshua 3 and 4 is not written in chronological order. And sometimes, according to the Hebrew, the way the Hebrews wrote things in their literary practices, it's not a faultiness in the writing. Somebody didn't get it wrong. They would just sometimes give you the end. They would give you the fulfillment, the result of the event, and then later on go and fill in the details. So as you're looking at number three and number four, they're kind of telling you what's going to happen, and later on they're filling in some more of the details to help you understand all the things that happen. And as you read through the chapters, you'll see that. Also, I want you to give you an idea of how many people are there. There's probably about 2 million people there. You say, where do you get that number from? Well, Numbers chapter 26, verse number 2, God tells them the number, the people that would be able to fight in a war. He says, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war. These, and then in verse number 51, it says, these were the number of the children of Israel, 600,000 and 1,730. So they had over 600,000 that was able to fight in war. 20 men that were 20 and older able to fight in war. So you got to think that there's wives there, there's kids there. And I think very conservatively, you can say there's probably 2 million people there. But you know, if you want to be, it's over a million at least. And so there's this 1 to 2 million people. They have been brought to the Jordan River. And the question is, are they going to enter into the promised land? And one last thing before we get into the chapter. Remember, we said, I don't think Canaan land is talking about heaven. Remember, in Canaan land, what is there? We've looked at this. There's conflict and there's conquest. There's obeying God. And as you obey God, God can bless you. It's the victorious Christian life that God is referring to them here. In Canaan land and heaven someday, I don't plan on fighting battles in heaven. I think Canaan land is referring to a victorious Christian life. And that's the whole point of this book. We can have a victorious Christian life if we will embrace God's promises and possess God's power he's given us in our life. Let's go ahead and read. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's 17 verses. It's not super long, but it will take a little bit. I'll give you some commentary, give you some ideas there of what's going on, try to help tell the story. And then there's 3 points tonight about crossing over your Jordan. 3 points, crossing over your Jordan. First of all, it says, Joshua arose early in the morning. You know, I think that's a good thing. I mean, to get up early, and I'm not as good at it as some other people. I don't know if when the generations have changed. Sometimes people, I stay up late sometimes studying or late sometimes doing things, so I don't get up as early. But it's the person, when they get up early, they had a job to do. They knew that. He wasn't putting it off. He wasn't saying, rolling over in his bed like it talks about in the book of Proverbs about a sluggard. He was ready to do the work that God had given him. One other thing I didn't mention, I meant to do before. It says, Jordan River is usually 200 feet wide. But in verse number 15 of this chapter, it talks about how the Jordan overfloweth. It's during the harvest season. It means that it's flooding. So you're looking to cross 1 to 2 million people over a mile of water and a flooding type thing. So this is a big body of water. So you go looking, I even almost put it on the PowerPoint there. I couldn't find good pictures of what it looked before, what it looked up afterwards, but it's a pretty intimidating thing. And if you're sitting outside your camp and you see floodwaters that are there and they're rushing and it's a mile long, you're wondering how you're going to get to that promised land. It's just like some of our own problems. You know, God's got a victory over there. God's got a promise over there. God has victory past that thing he's put there. Let's go ahead and look and read. And it says, and Joshua arose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim. Now, Shittim was a place that was about 20 miles away, 10 to 20 miles, probably a day or 2 days' journey. When you're moving a couple million people, you're also thinking of their herds. You're thinking of the other things that they have with them, their possessions. So I think it's probably a 1 or 2 day journey to Jordan. It says, and came to Jordan. Now, Jordan's a spot where they are at, where they have a choice here. I think this is different than when it was at the Red Sea. Remember when Moses went and he parted the Red Sea with his rod? The Egyptians were back there, right? They didn't have anywhere else to go. These people actually, you know what? This area is not that bad. 2.5 of the tribes actually say, we want to stay on this side. They had made a promise with Moses. We looked at that a few weeks ago. But they could have sat there. They wouldn't have ever fulfilled God's plan. They would have never gotten to the promised land. But it wasn't like the Egyptians were coming after them. They had to, on their own, decide that they were going to cross the Jordan. Let's keep on going here. It says, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, as I said, probably 1 to 2 million people, and lodged there before they passed over. So they set up camp. It came to pass after 3 days. Now, you know, why are they waiting 3 days? Well, there's a preparation. There's a rest that has to happen there, and they have to get instruction. Can you imagine if the waters gets opened up and 2 million people try to cross at the exact same time? It'd be like Black Friday times 100. I mean, it's like everybody's trying to get there, and also there's a purpose and plan behind it. Over on the other side, there's enemies over there that's not that far away from the river. And if they know that they're coming, if the wrong people came first, you know, they could attack them. Let's keep on going here. It says, and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. They're saying you need to be ready. When you see this happening, you need to be prepared to remove from your place and go after, follow after the ark, follow after God. And we're going to talk a little bit about the ark tonight. It said, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. A cubit is anywhere between 18 inches to 22 inches. Depends on who you talk to. And you take that by 2,000. So you're looking about almost a mile there he says you need to keep a mile of space. You say, well, why would they do that? Well, there's a couple of different thoughts and reasons here. You know, they always had to reverence and respect the ark. They could not touch the ark. But I think that the reason why is because they want them to watch it. They want to see where it's going. They want them to be able to follow it. If it was up there near them, they wouldn't be able to see it. But as you read this passage of scripture, it says 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. And listen to what it says, that ye may know the way by which you must go. I think it's out there to where if anybody who wants to see where it's going and anybody can follow it, is so that you can know the way you can go. And here's the next thing, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You've never experienced this. You've never gone through this. You need to follow after God. You need to keep your eye on that ark. You don't need to go to the right. You don't need to go to the left. You need to go where God's going. And he's saying, look, it's there. It's the presence there. And verse number 5, and said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. What does it mean? It means clean up. And I think this, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I think it's the washing of clothes and making your preparation for it. It says, for tomorrow, look at this, the Lord will do wonders among you. I tell you, if you want God to do something special in your life, you're going to have to be clean. And I'm not just talking about your clothes and your face. I'm talking about being clean spiritually. And we'll look at that in a little while. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Now the priests obey. So, of course, it's Joshua. Remember, Joshua has only been the leader for a short period of time here. They're getting ready. They have just moved from Shittim to a place they were comfortable, place where, you know, they had a lot of different things happen, some good and some bad, and they're already listening to him, and that's a blessing. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. Now, I like this verse because, you know, who's doing the magnifying? God is. It's not Joshua trying to, make himself a big shot. God says, you obey me, I'll take care of magnifying you in the sight of the people. And I think as you follow after God and as you give God the glory, God will also make you a leader amongst those who will follow after you. Let's keep on going. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. And so they have to actually go. They can't just go there and stand next to the water and expect God to open up the waters. Now, God says, I want them to go in far enough where they're actually standing on the brink of the Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, and then he tells these 2 million people, he says, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua is a good leader here. What is he giving to them? He's giving instruction. He's not giving instruction to what he thinks is best. He is giving what it says, the words of the Lord. And then he encourages the people by saying, and Joshua said, hereby we shall know the living God is among you. He says, if you're questioning whether or not this is God's will, let's follow God's command. He says, this will prove to you that the living God is among you. It's still overwhelming to think the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. It's amazing thought. You know, the thing, what a living God's with these 2 million people. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us as believers. And that's just amazing. But you keep on going, and it says, and that he will without fail. Joshua is saying he's not going to fail. But listen to the promises. Drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. You know, think about this. They're facing Jordan. They're seeing a mile of water here. They need to see that God can open up this water so that when they go to fight the wall of Jericho, when they go to face the giants, when they go to face all these people with funny names, they know, you know, God parted the Jordan River for us. We know God can do this over here. So Joshua's encouraging him, take this step of faith. He says, hereby we shall know that the living God is among you. If you're willing to take the step of faith that God wants you to do, then you'll realize that you can grow in your Christian life, that God lives with you and God is with you and he can conquer anything because you took that first step over the Jordan River that he wanted you to take. Let's keep on going. And behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. Now, these 12 men, you'll see in chapter number 4, they make memorials. There's one that actually stays in the Jordan River, I believe, and there's one that goes to Gilgal with them. Once again, this is something that he is saying now. He'll fill in the details later on. Would it make more sense for them to explain it here? Maybe to me or you, but we didn't write the Bible either. So let's keep on going. It says, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And I've built, you know, some little streams or creeks, you know, and you build a little dam there so the water can't go through. Maybe as a kid you did that. But can you imagine, you know, God building this during the flood season? It's just an amazing miracle here. And listen to what it says. And it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents. So not only did the priest obey, the people are ready to obey. They're removing from the tents. They're actually getting there. They've done what God has asked them to do. They have made that motion. They have taken that step to pass over their Jordan. And it says, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, they're prepared, they're ready now. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all of his bank all the time of harvest. You say, why would God do it during that time? It's because he wants to give him glory. He wants the glory. He wants the people to realize, even in the hardest times, even in the toughest times, even in the deserts of life, God can perform a stream. God can perform a miracle. Then it says, now the waters came down from above and rose up upon the heap very far from the city Adam. Now, city Adam, I don't know that much from. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but the studying that I looked at is about 16 miles away from where they crossed over. He said, 16 miles, that's a long way. What do you think? There's 2 million people that go across. He only opens up 10 or 15 feet. They're going to be there a few years. So they 16 miles one way, and let's look at the other side. That is beside Zaretani. That's a little bit more familiar of a place. And they that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, and it's referring to the Dead Sea here, and it's talking about here, and that's about 10 miles from this location. So it is a 26 mile that they're going to be walking through this, and it's still with all the herd and all the cattle. If you did a certain amount per minute, you're looking at probably a whole day. If everybody ran through it pretty much, you're looking at 8 hours, but you're probably looking at about a 24 hour day to get everything through. And it says here, and the people passed over right against Jericho. How can you know where it's at? It's because it tells you it's right against Jericho. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. So we see now they have gone to the midst. I believe it's near the middle of Jordan. I like that little phrase, dry ground. We don't always have that in Elizabeth City. You know, after the waters, after the floods, after it rains, you know, some of the guys that cut the grass called me up and say, hey, pastor, can we come out and cut the grass, or is the grass still wet? Is it still soggy? Is there still water in the ditches? You know, but God not only did this, he didn't even leave the water. He didn't even leave the ground muddy. It is dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. It's an amazing story. It's amazing that they had this obstacle in front of them that was huge. Now, they had to learn this. They get spent 40 years in the wilderness. They guess watched or maybe their parents and their grandparents pass away because of their unbelief. This is not something that It's not something that was like, man, these people are stepping out by great faith, but it's still a choice. See, this is step one. God is preparing them. God is, I think, they're going to face the walls of Jericho. In just a few days or a few weeks, God's going to say, I want you not to fight the people of Jericho. I want you to walk around Jericho once. If God would have told me to do that before Jordan, I would have laughed at him. But after I walk through dry land and I can see the water up there and God's hold back the water so 26 miles so me and my whole family can get through safely. If God says, I want you to walk around Jericho, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk around Jericho. And see, in our Christian lives, many of us live in that one-tenth. Many of us do not live and experience a victorious Christian life. We're satisfied with the status quo, but God has something over just that next breakthrough for you. God has something over that next Jordan. God wants you to take that step of faith so he can let you enter into victorious Christian living. Let's have a quick word of prayer. I know it's getting close to the end, but we got three quick points now. But I'd like to pray and since we're done reading here. Let's go pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts tonight. Help these three points be a blessing to them. Help them be encouraged by this. Help them whatever Jordan they're facing, whatever obstacle, whatever tension, whatever hardship, whatever it is that is the next step you want them to take, help them to follow after you. Help them be able, willing to get into that brim of the water and let you do the work. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I want you to see. First thing is crossing your Jordan will involve you following. Crossing your Jordan will involve you following. The Bible says here in verses 1 through 3, he says, and Joshua rose early in the morning and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan and he and the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. So they had to follow Joshua to Jordan. And it came to pass 3 days that the officers went through and the hosts, and then they commanded them. It says in verse number 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. If we're going to truly take that next step, we're going to have to follow. So what are we going to follow? First, you're going to follow God's instructions. You know, God gave specific instructions, and here in chapter 3 and chapter number 4, he says, this is how I want you to do it. Now, most of us would have said, okay, let's wait till the rainy season's done, and then maybe we can get some boats, and maybe we can get this ready and get this together, and we can figure out a way over there. No. See, if they did that, the people of Jericho would have been sitting there waiting for them, and as they came over, they would have had them. But no. God here says, I have a plan and a purpose for you. And now sometimes when we don't understand, but we need to just follow. Sometimes when things are brought in our lives and obstacles come and that Jordan is sitting right before us, that obstacle is there right before us, and we know God wants us to do this, but it just doesn't make sense to us. We need to learn to trust in God and be faithful. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, many people might have said, well, the ark's always been in the middle of us. The ark, if I remember correctly, they used to put it in the middle and the people would sleep around it. It was in the center, it was in the presence that represented the presence of God for them. This isn't the way I would do it, is what people would say. Or, no. We just sometimes need to learn how to follow after God and his word. Not only do we need to follow his instructions, but we need to follow his commandments. Look what it says in verse number 5. And we mentioned this earlier. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And he says, look, if you're going to do something, you need to get clean first. Now, this is very similar to the promise that the commandment Moses gave to the people at Sinai in preparation for receiving the law of God. It involves such things as washing their clothes, which was an outward act of a symbolic of an inward purification. And it's not easy. It's not hard to see the application here. The application here is we need to be clean. God is getting ready to do a great wonder for the Israelites by parting the Jordan River so the Israelites could pass over into Canaan. But before the miracle could ever happen, they had to get cleaned up. And I tell you, if we ever expect to get past the Jordan rivers of our lives that arise in our life, we're going to have to learn one thing more than anything else is to get cleaned up first. We're going to learn how to examine our own lives and say, you know what? God uses clean vessels and we need to get ourselves as clean as possible. And when if people would realize this, that God will lead you and guide you if you are clean and able to hear him. The Bible says, and let us not be weary well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You say, what are you getting at? You know, we want to hear from God. Sometimes people come to me and they have tremendous burdens. I mean, just tremendous things. Sometimes I don't have the answer. You know, I tell them, get as close as you can to God. confess whatever sins you have, get as clean as you can get to God, and then sit still with the Word of God and just spend some time alone with Him. Get yourself cleaned up. If we want to hear from God, we got to stop crowding out that communication and those muffling sounds. And it drives me crazy when I can't hear people on the other end of the line or vice versa. I was on the phone today with a company. I had already been on the phone for 50 minutes. We were getting ready to rectify the situation. And the girl starts saying, "I can't understand you very well." I says, no, you can't do this to me. I says, "I've been on the phone for 50 minutes with you. We need to get this fixed." And then so I had to move to a different spot in the room so that way she could hear me better and we could finish up what we were doing. And I was thankful for that. You know, our communications many times is gargled by the things of this world. There's some things that is dirty in our lives, and we've let our sins separate us between us and God. And we need to hear from God. We are desperate from hearing from God. We don't know what the next step is. We got the Jordan River sitting in front of us, and not just a little Jordan River. We're talking about the big Jordan River, and we know God wants us to go over this. But we're going to have to get clean first. We're going to have to make sure that there's no heart issues. I know outwardly, they said that they're going to make themselves clean outwardly, but inwardly is the one things that are going to make the difference. You know, you can look good on the outside, but inwardly, like the Pharisees, can be full of rotting bones. So the first thing is, if you're going to cross your Jordan, you're going to have to follow. The second thing is, crossing your Jordan will improve your focus. Crossing your Jordan will improve your focus. These people, when they had decided to make the follow, they made the decision. In verse number 14, it says, "It came to pass when the people removed from their tents, they had packed everything up. The priests were there and they were walking out and they're getting to the brink of the water. The waters had not parted yet. They're just like, we're going to do it. We're there." But you know what the thing is? It's going to help improve their focus. Many times we're focused on the water. Many times we're focused on the problem. But if we make the decision to follow after God, only thing we can hope in is God. The only thing we can hope in here is that the only thing they could see, the ark went that mile ahead of them. They could only keep their eye focused on that ark because they knew on their own there's no way they could cross that Jordan. And Christian, I want you to understand that in our lives, when we make that choice to follow over that next Jordan and cross that next Jordan, we're going to have to improve our focus. Our focus is going to have to be on Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, here's the cleaning up. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." But that next verse, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has set down the right-hand throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in minds." I'm saying if you're going to cross that Jordan, your focus can't be on the water. It's going to have to be one that's going to be focusing on Jesus. It's going to have to be focusing on the presence of God like they did. Now, this ark is important to them. It's mentioned seven times in chapter number 3. It combined between chapter 3 and 4, it was almost 20 different times. And the reason why it has significance here, it's more than just a piece of furniture. The ark is the place where the presence of God was. It says in Hebrews 25:21, God said this, "And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark. And the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee. From above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." It represents the presence of God. And with the ark, it's playing a significant role. Like I said, 20 times in two chapters here, it's an important thing that we understand that was the presence of God to them, and that was something special. So, Pastor, what can we do that to apply to our lives? Well, I think it's an easy lesson, too. We need to go when God tells us to go. We need to stay when God tells us to stay. We would do well when we face times of crisis and in need of direction to learn to be sensitive to the movement of the Lord in us and around us. It's the fact that God loves us. He's going to show us what he wants to do. What we said in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him." What does he say next? "He will direct thy paths." He shall direct thy paths. Excuse me. He's saying, I will lead you, I will guide you right through that Jordan River. But you're going to have to have an improved focus. You're not going to be able to focus on all those other things around you. You need to keep, like I said, at the end of verse number 3 says, "Then you shall remove from your pet place and go after it." Get your eye on God and then go after him. Get your eyes off all the other circumstances. Go after the knowledge of God. Third thing, last but not least, is crossing your Jordan will increase your faith. Crossing your Jordan will increase your faith. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've been anxious about something, worried about something, not sure how something's going to turn out. It's a Jordan River that I know I have to cross. And when I got done, I was like, whew, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. You know why? It's because God helped us through it. And that's what he's saying here in verse number 10. If you look what it says, and Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. He promised them in chapter 1 he was going to never leave him and forsake him in those verses. But here he's saying, look, now you'll know this. You'll see this. And when we take those steps where it may be difficult, it may be hard, it may be something that we don't really want to do, but with God's help, we take those steps, we'll know that God is with us. Why is that? It says right here, and that he will without fail drive out before you in that long list of names. Look what it also says in verse number 7. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was Moses, so will I be with thee. Another promise that God had given to Joshua earlier, he was answering that promise. Why? Who was the one that told him to go from Shittim? Who was the one that started acting like the boss and saying, okay, guys, this is what you need to do. Go get cleaned up. Now, a lot of people don't like to be told, go get cleaned up. Get your heart right. Get yourselves right. You know, God's going to do something. People don't like to hear that many times. Joshua here is doing what God has told. He's telling the priest what to do in verse number 6. And in verse number 7, God says, look, I'm going to help you. I'm going to increase your faith here. You follow after me like you're doing, and you'll see tomorrow I'm going to answer the prayers that you give me. Look at what it says in verse number 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood from on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I don't know about you, but that's an exciting thing to experience that. Could you imagine that? To get to be a part of that? Your faith has to be increased. I mean, there is no way that you can go around and that I don't know how you could walk through that and not have your faith increase. And I think sometimes the reasons why we don't pass over Jordan is because we ask this question, we say this, I don't see what good it's going to do. They could have sat on that side of Jordan and just said, why do we need to leave the tent? This area is nice. There's walls over there. Why can't we? No. Many times we will not go to the next Jordan because we say, I know when I face this Jordan, I know what lies behind. I know that there's walls over there. I know that there's giants over there. I know that there's enemies over there. I know there's more Jordan rivers that I have to go over. Why even try to get this one right? And Christian, it's important as we take this step of faith. It's not living in the one-tenth anymore. It's saying, God, I know you have promises in your word. I know that you love me and you have a plan and a purpose for me. I'm going to take each Jordan River as I come to it, and I'm going to step in that Jordan River, and I'm going to improve my following, and I'm going to improve my focus, and I'm going to increase my faith because I'm going to stand close to you. And you think about it. David, when he was challenged, should he fight Goliath or not? Saul was saying, I don't think you should. What did David say? He said, God help me with the bear. God help me with the lion. Now he was ready to fight Goliath. You think about it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar just chapters earlier, God had answered their promise, their question about the king's meat, answered their prayer by interpreting the dream through Daniel. Daniel had the courage to stand up and pray 3 times a day still, even though he knew it was going to cost him his life. Why? It's because he had Jordan rivers earlier in his life that he crossed. He did what was right. Even though it was tough, even though it was hard, even though it was difficult, it helped him to follow after God. It helped him improve his focus. His eyes had to be on God, and it increased his faith that he could stand before the most powerful king of all time and say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, I'm not careful to answer you according to this matter. He's increased it. Why? It's because there was a Jordan River in his life. And I know that they only get 10% of it, but man, they get to have some great victories here. God wants more for you. God wants more spiritual victories for you. So, well, if I deal with my attitude, or if I deal with my slothfulness, or if I deal with how I treat my husband or my wife, or if I deal with my soul winning, or if I deal with my prayer life, or if I deal with my Bible reading, or if I deal with all these different things, what does it matter? The next thing is going to be even harder. God's going to increase your faith, and he's going to go with you. He's going to encourage you through it. So when we talk about crossing your Jordan, man, there's a lot of things in our life that God intends us to do. God says, okay, I've brought you here. I want you to step into the brink of water. Now, it would have been easier for the people if God would have said, here, let me open up the water. Now you just go ahead and go through it. No, he wants you to show by faith, I believe in you. I'm going to follow after you. And as I take this one step of faith, God will then direct your paths. Remember, lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what I need. That's what our church needs. That's what you need. But how do we get that? We got to improve on our following. It involves following, and we need to improve on that focus. And we need to let God increase our faith. Many of us aren't taking that next step of faith. We're sitting on the other side of Jordan saying, it's not really that bad over here. It's okay. It's okay. I'm good. My family's doing okay. God's got so much for you over there in the promised land. He's got so much over here for you in the land of Canaan. We just got to be willing to take that next step of faith. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.